Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 103 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Inter-Juventus at the San Siro, which finishes 4-4. Not a scoreline you would expect. 4-4 goals from Zielinski in the 15th, Vlahovic in the 20th, Zielinski again in the 37th. Actually, Mkhitaryan hit before that in the 35th, Weah in the 26th, Dumfries in the 53rd, and then Yildiz twice in the 71st and 82nd minute. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Okay. Lots to say about this game. We will do the recap. The recap won't be fun. But you know, we'll get through everything here in a second. My first question to you: Milan and Juventus at San Siro, 6 possible points. We come away with 1. How much do you think that's going to end up biting us in the ass later down the season?
Without a question, it's going to bite us in the ass. Very disappointing. I don't know what's happened to this team, and I know we're going to get into it, and I don't want to get too, obviously, into the weeds right now. But yeah, I'm not happy with what I've been seeing and what I have seen, and something needs to change. That's all. But I do see it not. I mean, I don't see us really winning the Scudetto this season, unfortunately. I know it's early days. Anything could happen. But you cannot have these types of results throughout your season where you're leaking goals. I mean, it's not even close to what we were able to perform as last season. So,
yeah, agree with you on not letting this happen throughout the season. Disagree on us being out of the Scudetto race. I mean, not only is that,
I didn't say we're out of the race. I just don't think we're,
or that you don't think we're going to win. Okay, yeah. So I disagree with you there. We'll get into what happened today and why I still have confidence in this team. I mean, I'm typically, I try to skew positive. Again, like, it's not,
we know
that's not a matter of but Johnny, like, because it bothers me that people, like, it bothers me that people get upset that I'm a little bit more positive. It has nothing to do, like, there's no excuses for what happened today. I'm not saying that there are. I'm just a little bothered right now, so let me get this off my fucking chest. Me finding things that matter in the long run or give reason for optimism for why a 10 game sample size is not necessarily going to be reflective of the 50 games that we're going to end up playing this year is not me giving a cop out on, you know, Inter performing badly or anything like that. It's just a perspective that I try to take. So I am fucking pissed. I am fucking pissed. I'm just going to try to talk about it like an adult.
Look, that's fair. Yes, I know it's only 10 of a possible 50, like you said, but having seen, this is now what, 1/5 of the season, 20%, right? Potentially. Would you say that out of those 10 games, more than 7, they've been mediocre performances? Even regardless of the result, I'm talking about the actual performances on the pitch.
Yeah, I don't think the performances have been particularly great. I tweeted, okay. I think there's reason for that, and I tweeted about it the other day. Last year, there was rarely rotation. Okay? Inter have not fielded the same 11 this season in consecutive games for the whole season. We have not seen the same 11 in consecutive games. Okay?
Fair. Okay.
Our players played the entire summer. They played the entire summer. Our players
not all our players, but okay.
I'm talking about the ones that matter. Not to mention they're all going out for the current international breaks. So that's going to have an effect on the team. This is not an admission of, oh, like it's okay that they haven't performed well. I'm just pointing out the differences between last year and this year and the differences in performances. They haven't fielded the same 11 players on the pitch two games in a row all season.
Fair.
All season.
But is that feasible?
It's not feasible. It's not feasible to continue to rotate, whether if you're rotating one player, you know, the performances should stay consistent. But they've been rotating two or three players at a time, and it shows.
Some of that's forced, though. You got players getting injured, picking up knocks. Obviously, you can't field them, and then because of the how condensed the schedule is. This is the oldest squad in Serie A. You can't keep playing the same lineup week in and week out. I mean, I don't disagree with the points that you're making, but I'm just saying
they aren't playing the same lineup. That is a problem. That is a problem
because they can't. Okay, so I feel like we're on the same page for most of that. Then
we. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like it's not difficult to see what's happening here. And I don't know how it changes. But you know, we'll see how things play out.
Okay.
All right, you want to get into the recap here?
That's your job.
All right. Nothing fun today. I'm just going to lay out the game for you guys. So started off with the right attitude, few balls into the box, but nothing overly dangerous. I thought Juve's possession was pretty sterile. It was a lot of side to side movement that wasn't really penetrative. Thuram ends up winning a penalty. Zielinski gets his first for Inter. Then we concede. De Vrij and Bastoni had switched positions when we were in possession. So Bastoni was playing the middle. De Vrij was kicked out to the left. They did not switch back when Juve regained the ball. That ended up leaving De Vrij on an island out left. He goes wide to press Conceição and Cambiasso. It leaves McKennie unmarked. You know, we can get into the reasons for how that happened. Cabal delivers a great ball. Weston lays it off. Juve ties the game. Vlahovic gets on the score sheet. The energy and the concentration level completely dropped off after the equalizer. More quick counters from Juve. Zielinski doesn't step to Weah when they get in the box, and they end up taking the lead 2-1. Our equalizer came out of nowhere. They were stretching us a bit. We were not being very effective with our press. Two give and goes essentially gain us about 30 yards, and Lauti lays it off to Mickey, who had an awesome finish to Di Gregorio's right. Another penalty to Inter. Kalou kicks through Dumfries. We will talk about this decision. But he gets his second goal of the night. Inter is up 3-2. We do pick up the pace. Thuram's mazy run into the box probably deserved a better result, but Lauti's shot ends up being blocked. Then there's a Lauti to Di Marco shot in the second half that ends up for Dumfries. He can't connect. That would have been one of the many chances that we should have put away in that second half. Had to go in, but good save from Di Gregorio. Same goes for a Lauti, Mickey 1-2, but the attitude to open the half was the right one. Savona and Yildiz end up coming in for Juve, Bisek and Fratesi for Inter, there's a lot more opportunities that that we see from Inter. Di Marco from distance, we saw Barella from distance, De Vrij, booting it over the ball on a corner. Barella taking the ball up the pitch instead of laying it off to Lauti. He plays it selfishly, can't put it away. Just a ton of opportunities that you can kind of see that us not being clinical was going to open the door for Juve to get back into the game. They end up doing so. Yildiz on a one-on-one with Dumfries, puts it low past Sommer. Eventually, Darmian comes on, Gatti and Mbangula for Juventus. And then just a cheeky little cross to the back post. Yildiz gets on the end of it. Another low shot past Sommer, 4-4, game over. A game that was not characteristic of a Derby d'Italia at all. The openness of it was pretty surprising. Do you think that this amount of goals was the fact that two incredibly potent offenses were going up against each other, or was this a little bit sloppy? We did see Fabrizio Biasin after the game say that he did not enjoy this game. It wasn't real football because of how open it was. Did you feel the same way, or did you enjoy it? Enjoy watching all that action?
No, I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it one bit. Very sloppy. Defending on both ends was disgusting. And if you think about it, we were saved by two really dumb plays by Juve. Otherwise, this is a loss for us. And it still feels like a loss because then on top of it, we were up 4-2. But I didn't enjoy it. It felt like I was watching an EPL game with the amount of sloppiness and openness. And I would have rather have had a 1-0 game that was just a defensive masterclass, which is probably what we would have seen, had it been an Allegri Inzaghi match. But to have that much space and that many opportunities and that lack of cohesive defending on both ends was, it was not fun to watch at all. And, I don't know if you saw the tweet from Carlo on the Italian Football Podcast saying this was one of the greatest Serie A matches of all time. I couldn't help but laugh at that statement because I don't know what game he was watching where maybe great for him as a Juventino where they came back and were able to equalize. But I've never seen that level of switches being turned off defensively on both ends where you just don't understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I think the greatest game of all time stuff, or like just a classic Serie A match, I think it comes to the swings in momentum. They were pretty drastic. Both teams had their opportunities where they were definitely in control of the game. But from a style of play or from a quality of, defensive play, it was really, really poor. Let's get these out of the way, the penalty decisions, because I think it is important to address. I think it's important to start this conversation with something that it's super prevalent across Twitter. If Inter gets a penalty, there are accounts that automatically, no matter what the correctness of the decision is, will automatically freeze a frame on a specific image or, say that it wasn't deserved. And then that stuff gets pushed all around. And no matter what the call is, whether it's correct or not, it just gets absolutely blown up that Inter shouldn't have had a penalty. Reality today for me is that those were both 100% penalties without question whatsoever. Did you feel the same?
Yeah, no, the only hesitation I had on the second one was if the ball hit Dumfries' arm first, which if you watch the replays and you could actually look at it objectively, and believe me, listen, there's a couple of Juventini who follow me and who I follow who also agreed it was a penalty. So, like, you could watch this game and be unbiased no matter where your allegiance stands. Respect to you for that, honestly. But if they could recognize that, I don't see why not. Literally, that if Kalulu would have held his kick or his leg from hitting Dumfries for a half second, it's a handball, and we're going the other way. So, you know, a bit of luck for us, of course, but both of them were clear-cut penalties. So I don't know what there is to fight about or what there is to complain about or say Marotta League or whatever you want to say, but 100% two penalties.
Yeah, you can't put your leg through a player. That contact happened. It happened before the ball hit Dumfries in the hand, so it doesn't matter. You know, I think under like Carlo from the Italian Football Podcast, under his proposed rules, it needs to be like a certain there needs to be a certain level of danger in the move. And I think like under that criteria, it probably wouldn't have been a penalty, but the fact of the matter is it's a foul play in the box before the ball touches Dumfries' hand, so it's a penalty. I think I want to start with, as far as performances are concerned, I think I want to start with Zielinski today. Has two goals, ended up being the penalty kick taker despite the fact that Lautaro was still on the pitch, so I think that speaks volumes about where he is on the depth chart, which is a good thing. But he gets the start in front of the defense, over Aslani, over Barella, to allow Barella to play his natural position. I thought his performance on the ball was pretty good. Definitely, again, it all looks different from Hakan, but I thought the performance on the ball was pretty good. Defensively, though, he was out of position for the Weah goal. This is not a knock on Zielinski. This is just explaining what happens when you don't have your typical starter in there. He was not in position for the Weah goal, and he was also caught out a little bit on the Vlahovic goal. What did you make of Zielinski's overall performance? Oh, and the other thing, too, is he got subbed off pretty early in the second half. He claims that he asked for the sub, and when asked about whether or not he liked the role, he said he preferred to play further forward. So, thoughts on Zielinski's performance?
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. I don't really blame him for the Vlahovic goal, but yeah, Weah, he definitely loses his man. But like you said, you know, if that's not your natural position, that's where mistakes can be made. I thought he was very good at dribbling out of trouble, controlling possession, being able to move the ball up the pitch. For me, I thought it was, you know, you take the goals away, I'd still say it's a 6.5, 7 out of 10 for me. You know, the mistake for Weah, it could happen to anybody. You know, you could point fingers on all four goals at different people. So I mean, I'm gonna be a little more lenient because he was playing outside of his natural position, and it's kind of crazy because I think that if he had played his natural position, I still think that whoever would have been put there would have been not in their natural position, and I still think that way I could have lost them on that second goal, and the same outcome would have happened, unless it's of course Hakan. And even that, still, like, I don't think you expect Conceição to be able to get that ball into the box from that position to be able to beat Sommer. But
yeah, we're gonna talk about him for sure.
Is what it is, you know. I mean, I was a fan. I did hear that too, that he asked to come off, so kind of stinks because I think that was when Juve were really able to take control of the game once he was out. Fratesi just doesn't offer much in hold up play and in finding his you know, being an outlet or finding an outlet or anything like that. So it just shifted the whole momentum in the midfield.
What's the better midfield for you? Obviously, this is being asked in hindsight, but Barella at Regista and then Fratesi, Mkhitaryan right to left, or Zielinski at Regista, Barella, Mkhitaryan right to left?
I still think that, I mean, as much as I didn't like Mkhitaryan, I still think Mkhitaryan, Zielinski at Regista, and Barella is the better midfield. I need guys who could actually carry the ball upward and offer something. Now, Fratesi did offer some stuff when he was going on runs. That was nice to see. But I think had it been maybe Fratesi... And the funny thing, it was the best attacking play for Fratesi was when he was on the left side. I don't know why they're so adamant that he can't play on the left, especially since he could apparently only pass with his right. I would rather him be able to cut onto his right foot. Anyway, we don't have to get too technical. But I think that if Fratesi, Barella, and Zielinski would have been the three in the second half, like for a little bit, I think that could have made a big difference. But yeah.
Yeah, at some point you are sort of just beholden to the personnel that's in front of you. I don't think Aslani would have done any better than Zielinski for a couple reasons. One, it's not like defensively he's much better. He may be more comfortable playing deeper than Zielinski was, but we've seen from him, like I would not have confidence that he would have been able to stay with Weah on the second goal for sure, or McKennie on the first. And then also, you would have taken the guy that put two penalties away off the pitch. So I don't know that Aslani would have been the better call here.
Not even close.
Yeah. All right. Before we get into some other performances, I did want to ask you, our home record against big teams, Atalanta 4-0, Milan 2-1 in favor of them. We haven't played a big game at home in the Champions League yet. And then this Juventus game, 4-4. Do we have a San Siro problem here? Have we lost the ability to defend home pitch?
No, it has nothing to do with the pitch. We have a squad problem, a personnel issue. Has nothing to do with the home. The fans come out. The fans are there. The fans are supporting the club. They're singing, they're chanting, they are passionate. Win, lose, draw, they are the same. They love this club. No, it's nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with the personnel.
All right, so let's get into it. What's the personnel issue for you?
You don't have a good center back. I think both your options are subpar, to be quite honest. And even though Acerbi's better.
Acerbi's been good this season.
He's 37, dude. I'm sorry. Like, you have a problem.
That doesn't make him not good right now. Of course, but that doesn't apply to
this
game.
He's been caught flat-footed. Same thing with De Vrij. De Vrij's been worse. So okay, you're the better of the two bad options. You have a severe center back problem, and you know hindsight's 20/20. But you spent roughly 23 million euros on two guys that you have not seen 1 minute so far in Martinez and Palacios. I would have rather you sign one center back then for 23 million if you're not going to play these guys. And I'm not saying that Martinez should be in there. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I thought initially, like, hey, we didn't want to get caught without a goalkeeper like we did with Handanovic, not having a ready-made replacement to be able to step in eventually. So I thought it was a good idea at the time. But now, seeing what's out there, seeing what's severely lacking, is Palacios going to be given minutes? I don't know. Do I think he should have been in this game? No. But it would have been nice to have an option who could have stepped up and been there. And ironically enough, the guy that we were looking at before we got Palacios ends up having the hockey assist that led to the first goal. A beautifully weighted ball over the top of a flat-footed Stefan De Vrij that gets to McKennie.
He wasn't even in the picture. He was still out wide.
You talking about De Vrij?
I'm talking about that. You're talking about the Cabal goal that he lifted. I mean,
you're saying De Vrij was out of the picture?
Yeah, he wasn't in. He wasn't even in the box. Like, he was all the way on. You can look up the goal, but. Either way, I get the point. I think that's a fair criticism as far as...
You're the center back. Where are you?
The money spent.
Not to mention Dumfries doesn't come out to close Cabal, which you can see that one there. Like, he just gives him acres of space, which that's a whole other issue. It's... You just don't have guys who are there mentally, who aren't there, who just don't have the focus for whatever reason. It's just missing this season. That you it's infuriating in a lot of ways because I just don't understand how you could go from champion. It's like, hey, we got our second star. Cool. It's over. We don't have to really fight for anything. We don't have to defend our title. And you got personnel that, you know, injuries are catching up. Fatigue is playing a factor. You don't have enough fresh legs, quality fresh legs on top of that, which is ridiculous that you just don't have any money to invest in quality players. And I'm not even asking for 30, 40, 50 million dollars, just 20, 25 here, you know, maybe spend 60, 75 in a summer to refresh your squad. I just don't get it. And I'm tired of Stefan DeVry. Like, that's it. It's like he, you know, Average Joe tweeted it and it was actually perfect. But it's almost like he used every ounce of quality and energy he had for Euro 2024. That's it. He just like burnt himself out after that. He poured it all into that tournament and that's it. He's checked out. He's not Inter quality anymore. If it were up to me, we'd get rid of him in January. Like swap it. Like if we were able to sell him and bring somebody in, that would be ideal. But anyway, your goalkeeper, I've been very defensive of Jan Sommer, very high on him. But in a game of this magnitude, you expect your goalkeeper to make one big save for you. One. And he made zero. Zero. I wasn't expecting him to block every single goal that went in. But one big one would have been nice. That's not good enough.
The second Yildiz goal, your hand wasn't strong enough. The first one,
you don't even really make a real effort on the dive. You kind of do one of those half like slides, like to kind of hoping you would guide it wide. That's not good enough. The only one I really can't fault him on, to an extent, is the Vlahovic goal.
Yeah,
because that's a tough one. You know, you got two guys basically. It's almost like 2-on-0, lays it off. Maybe he could have tried to cut off the pass. Maybe he could have tried to rush Vlahovic a little bit more and make the angle smaller, make himself bigger. Sure, I'll hear those conversations, but it just wasn't good enough today. And we were fortunate at the end of the first half where that second effort from Wea goes just wide because he tried to Handanovic laser eye it. And that's not something I want to see from him. I like, for a goalkeeper who relies on his reflexes, it felt like he just wasn't sharp today, and he just didn't have much in that tank. And then look at the coverage we had, you know, in terms of wingbacks. You know, I know Tejan is not full health, so I get that he couldn't have gone on. But Dumfries on a yellow, you know, I don't think he's worthy of a contract extension. Like, great goal to put us up 4-2, fantastic finish.
It was a great finish. It was a bad first touch. Some people saying that it was a good first touch. It would actually the first
it was a
touch
terrible first touch.
Him. Yeah,
yeah. But he just happened to get around it perfectly and put it the only place he could have put it to go in. Which, again, fantastic finish. I'm not going to take away from that. But defensively, a horror show. Horror show. Like, you can't tell me he had a good game. Maybe the first 50 minutes, I'll say he had a good game. I'll say that.
Who did? Dumfries,
yeah. I'll say the first 50 minutes. Now, he misplayed some passes, but I think the rest of it was pretty solid. But
I thought
whiffing on an empty goal, on an open goal, like how you don't, I don't know how you don't get even a touch on it. Forget about even putting on a goal, just even a touch on it. I think it's harder to miss that opportunity. And then
feels just, like you've been sitting on some stuff you wanted to get off your chest for the last
hours. An inability to just close down your man, bro. How do you give so much space to Kenan Yildiz on two separate goals? Like, just get out there. I'd rather you commit a foul outside the box or even a penalty. Honestly, I would have felt better than you just letting him take space and then get a free shot off on two separate occasions. I just don't understand it. I don't. Now, I expect better from Sommer on one of those opportunities. I do. It's not all on Dumfries. So I don't want anyone to be like, oh my gosh, you hate. No, it's not all on Dumfries. But my gosh, the lack of communication between him and Bisek on both those goals, like it's almost like no one wants to take the initiative and no one wants to be the one to make the mistake, but then you get beat anyway, so you made the mistake. Like, you're trying to be too careful. I don't understand it. You've been at this club now for, what is it now? Is this his fourth year? Is this his fourth season? Third season? 2021-22 was his first year. Okay. So, yeah, 24-20. This is your fourth season. And you're still making mistakes that a wingback in this system should not be making. Same thing with Di Marco on the left side. You know, I mean, obviously, not as egregious. But you just keep backpedaling and allowing Conceição space to dribble into. And then he's able to get off beautiful crosses. Now, only one of them led to goals, thank goodness. But it could have been worse if Susan or McKenny or whoever else could have got on the end on some of those opportunities. So I just don't get it. Like, these are things that we never saw with Perisic. Perisic was so good at staying tight to his man, marking him, being able to recover possession, and then dribble out of danger, kick it up, pass it out, whatever it is. And I don't understand how you just allowed, like, this game. And you felt it coming. Everyone felt it coming. You could sense it in the stadium. They felt the opportunities coming. And I will say, listen, I made a joke about Thiago Motta saying, Thiago, not a big game manager. Well, in a big game against your hated rivals, he put faith in his youth players, young players, maybe not youth, and it's not like, I mean, Savona and Yildiz are academy players, but he put faith in teenagers to be able to step up in a big moment and have an impact on a game that really changed the outcome, specifically Yildiz, and Savona didn't really do much. But we don't have any youth that we trust. I'm not saying we should have put Baron Brook out there in a big game like this, but like, you're not giving anybody a chance to develop. And we're continuously using Henrik Mkhitaryan, who looked so old today. Conceição was cooking him. Just absolutely embarrassing him. And yet he just keeps throwing him out there. Great goal. Yes, fantastic goal. All right, thank you. But it's the same thing with him. Poor mistakes, poor judgment, poor decision-making, not passing to the right person, not able to complete simple passes. And then you are just continuously going to the same people who don't get punished for their mistakes. Dumfries is probably going to start the next game. He's probably going to be run out there again. Darmian will probably not be used for something else like that. He probably won't be. Probably be thrown on as a center back potentially because, you know, we got to rest Bastoni or whatever it is. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of it. Like, these guys like that, you just... Same mistakes, same age, same excuses in the summer. We already know how it's going to play out next summer. We already know. We already know what's going to happen. There's no point of getting hyped over Samuel Ricci or getting hyped over another center back who looks promising. You know, just look at who's available on a free, and that's probably where it's going to go. And rant. Sorry. I know I went off on a million different things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't agree with everything that you said there, but I understand where you're coming from as far as player performances, Dumfries and Mkhitaryan, you know, absolutely, absolutely have to do better. There are aspects of what happened, like, you know, saying the whole stadium knew that those counterattacks were going to come. We would be criticizing Inter if they were up 4-2 and sat in a low block and barely pressed and did nothing. I liked the fact that they went for the game, and just like keeping track of some of the chances. You had that Di Marco shot from long distance that Di Gregorio had to make a great save on. The same thing with the Barella shot. De Vrij on the corner, which we were cooking them on corners all game. there were chances that were coming from these corners that we just like, it's the stuff that's like, that's very frustrating where it's
this. But where did I say I didn't want to go? Where did I say I didn't want to go for the game?
No, I'm not saying I wanted to sit back. No, I'm not saying that you said that. I'm just like talking about, you know, strategy for Inter that I wanted them.
We never finish our chances. We never finish.
Exactly.
This game should have been killed off.
Problem.
And it's exhausting. It's the same stuff. I don't fault Di Marco or Barella for those. Like, those are two fantastic saves, like you said, by Di Gregorio. Huge. Mm-hmm. Huge. Like, that Barella one, I mean,
it's a good nasty
if it goes
deflection.
To the, a little to the right or a little to the left, it probably goes in because he was perfectly centered where he was just able to get onto it. And the Di Marco one, I thought it was going in as well, but another fantastic. But, like, Lautaro misses a header. De Vrij misses one opportunity. You know, Dumfries misses his empty net.
He missed a couple opportunities too. He put one over the bar when Thuram.
I'm talking about the one that was like just like inches wide. Like
yeah,
that,
the corner where
that,
it just yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It looked like it would have gone in. The, you know, like last year that would have gone in. This year, of course, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, Fratesi with a good ball played in that just a great block there that he probably you know he gets it on net. Who knows what happens. This game should have never come to that. It should have never come to that.
It shouldn't have. That's why like those opportunities that Juve had created, like I feel like if we sat in our shell, they still would have created opportunities. They still would have created opportunities given who was back there with De Vrij and Dumfries, and they still would have created opportunities. It was a matter of if I'm looking at the entirety of the game, I know, you know, the score. We had so many chances to win this game, you know, 6-3, you know, 5-4, whatever it might have.
6-4 would have been fine. I would have been like 6-4. I mean, it's turning into the squad from 2 years ago. And I don't like it.
The reason that I was saying that I was bringing up all of these opportunities and that I was saying, you know, I'm happy that they were going for it being up 4-2 is because I think, you know, we do talk about Mkhitaryan. We do talk about Dumfries, but I think expectations for those players are pretty low to begin with. And I want to talk about like who we need to be getting more from, Because Mkhitaryan and Dumfries are zeros to begin with.
Just point at your captain.
I love Lautaro. I'm livid with his season.
I'm very hot and cold with him. I'll be honest. Sometimes I have him super, super high. Other times I have him like, I don't get who you are. Yes, I'm livid with his season too. And it's almost like in other sports where, okay, cool, our star player who was a free agent finally gets paid. He gets paid what he asked for, cool. And then he just like, mediocre.
You can't disappear from the play for these long, long, long stretches of the game and then be given opportunities that they have a degree of difficulty to them, sure. But why did you get the contract? Because you can put those chances away. So you're invisible most of the game, and then you pop up, and when we finally see you, it's to miss a chance that we really need you to put away. Thuram is working his fucking dick off. Like the runs
he should not have been subbed off.
He is playing his ass off. And someone had put out, like, who's Inter's player of the season so far? And most people were saying either Thuram or Di Marco. It's Thuram. He is pulling up everybody with him as far as the front line is concerned. Lautaro needs to play better.
No, he needs to be benched.
Needs
to be benched. I think you need to. This is my problem with Simone. My only problem is he's too nice to these guys. You need to have a little bit of balls with them and not worry about their egos. And if they are that fragile, then they're not strong enough to play for the Inter. This next game, I feel, should be a Taremi Thuram start. You need to sit him down. Hey, Your performances haven't been good enough. You're still the captain of this club. That doesn't change. But I need more from you. You can't have everybody else dragging you along for this season. Not gonna work. And you're only tanking your value that if, you know, let's say they decided to move on, which I know that's not gonna happen, but let's just say hypothetically, we're not gonna get what this guy's worth. Fine. The more he kind of just goes through the motions of the season, the more the doubters come, the more the haters say, oh, this is why Vinny is Ballon d'Or and blah blah. You need to show us why you're among the best strikers in the world. Like last week, I was defending him, saying that he should not be ranked as the ninth best, you know, striker currently. I don't even know if he's the ninth best player on this team right now, which is not something I would have thought I'd be saying to start this season. I thought, you know, I was watching Uncle Sharma's post-game reaction, which, shout out Uncle Sharma. If you listen to this, and chances are you already do follow him or watch his stuff, but if you don't, look up Uncle Sharma on YouTube and watch his post-match stuff. Give it a like, give it a follow. I want to give him a shout out because he was so gracious enough to shout us out as well. But anyway, he was saying, oh my gosh, now I forgot where I was going with that, what he was saying.
About Lautaro.
But yeah, but he was actually being critical as well of Lautaro for the, you know, he says that he's, you know, a fan of his, he supports him, but his performances as well just haven't been good enough this season. And every season, he was saying, since he's come to Inter, he's improved on every season, just gotten better. This season is a huge regression. And where you were hoping, I wasn't expecting him to score 30, but I was hoping that there would be some type of maturity or maturation that would...
He's lashing at the ball. There's no calm.
And that's a guy who's not confident.
Yeah.
You're just trying anything. You're just... You're zero confidence. Whereas Thuram, the control he has, there's times where I want him to shoot, and he does the smart thing where he turns back, finds the man, lays it off, finds a person in space, tried to set up Lautaro, who... lashed it again, and it just happened to go off of, I forgot what the fit, I think it might have been Kalulu, and then off of De Vrij and out for a goal kick. But it's just nothing is working with Lautaro so far this season, and it's it's very, very disappointing to see, because you were hoping that he would once again elevate his game to a new level, and that hasn't been the case.
Yeah, so on the topic of, like, who do we need more from, if you think about our season as of right now, 3 games in Europe, 7 out of a possible 9 points. The only points dropped were away to City. I'll take that.
Which was our best game of the season.
Which was the best game of the season. In Serie A, we're 4 points off of, 4 points off of Napoli. What's up? 4. Yeah.
Yeah, I was 4
points
with you, yeah.
4 points off Napoli in second place, with essentially, if you look at the team, and again on the theme of who's not doing well, 1 spot out of your starting front 2 forwards is contributing. 1 of your wingbacks out of your starting wingbacks is actually contributing. In the midfield, you've missed Barella for a period of time. You've missed Hakan now for a couple games. Aslani is essentially a 0. Zielinski has been, you know, has been carrying Knox for a few games this season. Mkhitaryan severely out of form. Fratesi inconsistent with his form. In defense, you've had Acerbi miss time with injury. Bastoni has missed time with injury. Pavard, incredibly inconsistent. Bissek making still youngster type mistakes. In goal, Sommer has been good. Today he showed a little bit of hesitancy. But you're essentially 4 points off the top of Serie A, only dropped 2 points in Europe, with most of your team underperforming or missing game time. The question ultimately becomes, is that something that you can turn around? Is that something that you can survive? Can these players start playing better? Or is this what it's going to be like for the rest of the season? I don't want to give up hope, or I don't want to make a judgment that what we've seen so far is definitively what we're going to see through the rest of the season, because I do think you can get guys that are going to come back into form, like Lautaro, potentially like the right side of the wing, but not holding my hopes up high there. And guys get healthy. If those things happen, if Lautaro can start firing, and if we can consistently have Barella and Hakan on the pitch together, things can turn around. But, you know, we need those things to happen. All right, let's talk about Inzaghi's substitutions here. Takes off Pavard because of the yellow card, brings on Bissek. I have no problem with that. Even though Pavard was having a good game, I thought, you know, Bissek can get himself into a goal there. Then Fratesi on for Zielinski. If Zielinski asks for the change, then fine. I'm happy with Barella, you know, shifting back into the regista position. Taremi gets subbed on for Thuram, and only with like 5 minutes left to go, would not have done that. Would have had Thuram, Taremi on the pitch. And then Darmian comes in for Di Marco, understanding you have a game midweek, but essentially that leaves you with Dumfries getting a full 90. It leaves you with two wingbacks that aren't going to contribute anything going forward. I think Inzaghi's approach and the substitutions were subpar today, and I'd give him like a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I think this was, I agree with Pavard. The thing with Zielinski, if that's the case, fine, I get it. Don't love it, but I get it. Didn't think they should have taken off Di Marco. I think it should have been Dumfries off, Darmian on the right. Granted, I think that that Darmian did a very good job with handling Conceição. But I would have rather had him on the right side with Yildiz. Who knows what happens there? And Lautaro should have been off first instead of Thuram. I think Thuram should have played the full game, because he was the only one drawing fouls, bringing a spark. He gave it all out there. He really did, and he deserved to finish that off, and he deserved more because he was fantastic today.
Something weird. Inzaghi didn't use 5 subs today. And there was one player on the bench whose card he should have pulled. Tejan Buchanan had to have had 10 minutes in his legs today. Throw Darmian over on the right side. Yildiz is the danger man. Throw Darmian over on the right side to help with Bissek, and put Tejan on the left. For the life of me, I don't know why that wasn't pulled. Even if Tejan has 5 minutes in him. Even if he has 5 minutes in him. Just makes a substitution. See what you got. Go for the game. What if Tejan was... There were... You know how many times we had a breakaway in that second half when Juventus was coming forward to try to win the game?
Yeah.
What if Tejan had some space?
I tweeted that this game was... I said it screaming for Tejan to be out there causing some type of chaos. I talked about it in the Twitter space at halftime that his pace could have been massive for us. It could have been game changing, especially with the amount of space he would have been afforded. You know, that's the only thing I can think of is that he just really was not ready. That's the only thing I can think. Doesn't mean I agree with it. I think, like you said, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. He could have had at least 10 minutes. You can't tell me he can get through a training session and not have 10 minutes in his legs. I would agree there.
We have 5 to 10 minutes in our legs.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, man.
All right. So. Couple more points here, and then we can get into the Q&A. I want to get your thoughts on, and this is an Inter pod, but I want to get your thoughts on what you saw from Juventus. I think it's relevant to talk about because a lot of Calcio Twitter before the season, during this first part of the season where they haven't conceded many goals, is really screaming for Juventus as being a title contender. I'm sure you've seen a bunch of them coming into this game, but obviously here you get a full 90 to see them come up against your team. What do you think of Juventus as far as this Motta revolution kicks into gear in its first season?
Trash. This is a game that we should have easily won. I'm not even kidding. I saw nothing that impressed me. I mean, it's for me in the first half, it was Conceição and Inshallah. Like, just get it out to the right, let him dribble, see what happens. That's all it was.
Yep.
Like, Vlahovic's first touch. Did you see how many balls were just, like, launched into orbit because he just didn't know how to control a ball? Useless. Okay, yeah, so you're
there's
trash.
There's two players in particular I definitely want to touch on, but keep going.
Like, I don't... The fact that we gave up four goals to this squad is really embarrassing because I didn't see anything that impressed me. Defensively, they were just spread all over the pitch, had no clear plan, no clear tactics, very disorganized at the back. Midfield, I honestly can't remember anything that Locatelli, McKennie, or anyone else there did for that matter. Like, I can't. The only guy who impressed me was Conceição. That was the only guy I was like, wow, that's a good little player there. And I thought that, my gosh, how cool it would be to see him, you know, at Inter or somewhere else and be used as a wingback. I think that he has that in him. I don't know if he would really be able to offer much defensively, but in terms of attacking, I think that he has capabilities.
Tries to harass you, though.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I didn't see anything else from anyone on that team that honestly impressed me. You know, Bremer's injured, so that definitely made it easier for them to look bad in defense. But I also think that he covered up a lot of their ineffectiveness and a lot of their deficiencies because he was just such a talented player and was able to do so much back there. That it allowed other guys to get away with making mistakes. I personally, and maybe it's just this season, but I don't see them this year as a legitimate title threat because I don't think they're as good as their record shows. I think they've been very fortunate to not give up more goals. I think they've been very fortunate that some of their ties have been ties and not losses.
Top attackers either.
Yeah.
That defensive record feels a little like strength of schedule inflated.
Yeah, like, you know, they were like, oh, they went whatever four straight games without allowing a goal. Well, three games they didn't score themselves, so like, you're just lucky, man. Like, I'm not impressed with anything over there again except for Conceição, who's been solid. Weah, I was kind of surprised that he started over Yildiz, but obviously, you see the impact that kid had off the bench. That is a talented player. I'm not gonna disrespect Yildiz either. He's a very talented young kid, and I think that he will develop in time to be one of their key men. But yeah, other than those two guys and Bremer, who's unfortunately injured, I don't see a lot outside of Bremer. There isn't anybody on that team that I would want at Inter. But Yildiz and Conceição are quality.
Yeah, I think, like I said, the strength of schedule has definitely impacted that defensive record. I think a lot of their possession was very non-threatening. You can look at their possession numbers. They're up there in the league and in Europe as well. And their defensive record, but I don't necessarily see it. I think their possession is not super threatening. And I think that the defensive record has been padded by playing against the likes of, you know, Cutrone and some of the other smaller sides early in the season. As far as...
Oh, you're saying Cutrone is not good?
Cutrone. Milan youth product. So the only other, like, their effective attacks came from counters where Inter had lost their shape, did not press or track back with the intensity that they should. There were a couple players that I like, though, or that I want to talk about real quick. Conceição is a good player. that shiftiness is valuable on any team in the world. Having a player that bench. Can just we potentially have a pretty good one on the bench. And I just think Conte Sal is a good player. I like the way that he plays. I know he's a very, very small, but he plays with a lot of intensity, and I think Juve has a pretty good one on their hands. Yildiz, along with Lorenzo Luca, I put in my breakthrough, who I thought was going to be breakthrough player of the year. Yildiz is just a really talented kid. Just whatever.
What a risk taker you are.
If Dumfries, Lorenzo Luca, do people love him? He's got, you know, almost whatever, how many goals he has. Even though Sommer could have done Luca, no, that's just talk. Even though Sommer could have done better and Dumfries could have done better, I think Yildiz is a very good player. And then the last one that I want to talk about is Vlahovic. That is the highest paid player in Serie A. And the first touch is Lukaku like. And we just talked about Lautaro disappearing for most of the game. I didn't see Vlahovic influence this back line that we're gonna tear De Vrij apart. And if he can't make an impact against an aging backup player for Inter, you know, you got to get called out. I don't know what's going on with him because he has a lot of, from a physical standpoint, he's a prototype as far as a forward is concerned. Dynamite in that left foot. But from what I've seen from him this season with some of the misses and then just going missing and these bad first touches, shocking that he is the highest paid player in Serie A. I'm just going to throw that
out. Trash. I wouldn't want him.
All right, very last thing to say about this game, and then we'll go into the Q&A. I just have one tweet that I want to read. That's more on the positive side. Why won't this open? That's more on the positive side for looking forward. Johnny, I'll allow you to say something negative immediately afterwards, but I maybe just want to try to get this going in the right direction. The Inter of Inzaghi, after 9 rounds, practically identical to the Inter of Conte in the 2020-2021 season. We know what happened there. After 9 rounds, Inter with Inzaghi, 18 points at a -4 goal differential with 13... at a -4 point differential with 13 goals conceded. Conte, after 9 rounds in 2020-2021, 18 points... -5 from first place with 13 goals conceded. A lot of that has to do with how competitive the rest of the league is. But for anyone saying it's not, you know, you've already dropped too many points, it's not the case. Like I said earlier in the podcast, not even a third of the way through the season, a fifth of the way through the season you are. But there's still plenty of season left. There's still plenty of opportunity for us to get back into form. There's still plenty of opportunity for other teams to fall out of form. It's just, you know, I know it hasn't been great. The performances haven't been what we expect based off of what we saw last year. But I do think things are salvageable. We just need a couple things to go our way. How was that? Was that too positive?
Very different teams.
Very different teams, very different circumstances for sure.
Yeah. If we somehow had Hakimi on the right side and not Denzel Dumfries, I'd feel optimistic. I'd be right up there with you in terms of optimism. If we had a lethal finisher up front, like a Romelu Lukaku that year, I would be not even breaking a sweat, to be honest. But, and I'm not saying it's not possible. Some guys need to wake up. We've already talked about who. We've already went over it. But you need to want it. And for a guy who's in a contract year, you would think Denzel Dumfries would be stepping up a little bit more himself as well. Right? Like, hey, pay me. This is why I'm important. Haven't seen it yet. Antonio Conte, as much as I like to make fun of him and crack jokes and all that stuff, he doesn't allow you mentally to slip up or to have doubt. He'll yell at you. He'll do whatever it is and to motivate you and to get you to flip that switch and be on and ready to go always. It's not a knock on Inzaghi. It's just different managerial styles. And I don't think that he has that same type of monster mentality to then go on and push your team and motivate them to, when you're down, to just fight back. And or even if you're playing a terrible game, you could still steal the points. It's different than that. And even though last year felt like a team of destiny, I just don't see it playing out that way. Hey, I hope I'm wrong. I would much rather be wrong.
And I we hope come you're back wrong too.
And everybody could say, haha, look how dumb Johnny was. I'll eat that, bro. I'll eat that all day. Because I would much rather be wrong than ever be right about this type of situation. So hopefully, they make me eat my words.
I hope so too. Or else it's going to be a pretty depressing watch throughout the season. And these podcasts are going to be depressing. So, all right, let's get into some Q&A. From @arguru_2k19. Is this the craziest that'd be the Italia of all time? No, we talked about it. There have been 1-0 that'd be the Italias that have been much, much more exciting than this one. This was a sloppy game with two tired teams. So we already addressed this one. He also says Inzaghi should throw on.
I would say the craziest one, though, that I've seen recently, and that was, that to me was actually enjoyable, was the Coppa Italia final of a couple of years ago.
The Alexis Sanchez winner.
No. I'm talking about the one that we won. That wasn't a final, was it? No, that was a Supercoppa.
Wasn't the one you're thinking about. That was a Supercoppa.
That was a Supercoppa. Yeah. The Coppa Italia final was the one where Perisic scored the one that made it 5-3.
Yep.
That one.
He had two goals that game, I think, right? Yeah.
Did he have two? I know Barella had the curler. I think so. In that one, yep. That was beautiful. That one was fun because that one, even though it was open, I feel like it was still a beautiful game. It was just our goalkeeper being Handanovic that time doing his Handanovic thing. But regardless,
yeah. All right, I don't even know if I could say this. Compunator, on Twitter says, should during the January window, a center back, or with Bastoni taking that role and then bring in a new left-footed center back, be brought in to make up for De Vrij losing his way as we saw today. Who do you have your eye on for either role? I personally have David Hanko from experience. Hanko could play in a back four or back three. So it's tough for me to say because I do think right wing back is also a problem position. I like what Acerbi has done this year, aside from a mistake that he made against Udinese. So I don't know if I'd rather have a center back over a right wing back, but definitely not David Hanko. I think Atletico went in for him this summer. They turned down like a 30 million euro bid. So there's no way that he would come in. What do you think, Johnny? Would that be top of your list? And if so, who's the name that you'd bring in?
Yeah, center back for me would be top of my list. In terms of who I would want to bring, I don't know. I mean, see, that's the thing. It always comes down to like how much money we have, like what's at our disposal, like what are we able to invest. You know, like if you're looking at cheaper options, I mean, I don't know. Like maybe I don't know the situation contractually with like a Lucas Klosterman from Leipzig. He can't play in a back three. That might be a name that I would want to consider. I don't think you're gonna find anybody in Serie A. You know, I mean, I'd be curious to know what. Well, again, but he's at Torino. I don't know what Schürrle's situation is health wise. You know, that's
Smiley from Empoli has been a name that's been coming up.
Has it? I mean, I like him. I just don't know. I haven't noticed or heard that. But and let's be real. I know we don't typically even go shopping in the Bundesliga. So like, it would either be a name that we're not even thinking about that maybe the club is interested in. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to say the name. I know Nima would be upset if he was here, but I'm a big Sutalo fan still. You know, I mean, I think that that's a name that of a player that could be had at a cheap price, and even though he hasn't been performing great himself either, so maybe it wouldn't even be worth investing because I want someone who's on the up and up and not someone that would be really like a project either. So I don't know. Even like I haven't even noticed Perez being good at Udinese.
He left. I think he's at Porto now.
He's at Porto?
Yeah, the Udinese defender that he has not played since he made the jump, but I'm waiting for Omar Solet to start playing at Udinese because there's a very serious player there.
I didn't even know he went to Porto. Look at that. Shows how little I've paid attention to Neho and Perez. So that's on me for not even being aware of that. Good for him, though. That means that he'll be sold for 60, 70 million in a year or two. So,
yeah, he went for 15 mil, so they'll recoup that.
15? You said?
15. Yep.
There's actually one kid from Argentina. And I know he's at Independiente.
Di Cesare?
No.
Oh, Lucas something, I think.
Yeah. No, I'm looking it up because I forgot his name.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. But last question is at Jerkbag Jerk. He asked, what's the difference between the defense this year versus last year? I remember Inzaghi's second season where he had tried to press much higher up the pitch. It left a lot of space in between the midfielders and defense, and they were just getting killed. I feel like a similar – he ended up making an adjustment late in the season, and it, you know, we obviously were able to get to the Champions League final and then able to qualify for the top four. But I think a similar mid-season adjustment is going to be necessary here. I've done the analysis of the goals that we've let in. A lot of them have just been like letting people cross the ball into the box and then great headers. There's been a lot of individual errors, just bad defending. So as far as like this year, the difference is that they were more switched on last year. And I think that they were closing down a lot better. I think that there is defensively a take the foot off the gas mentality where they sort of they're not tight to players. They're not, you know, jumping into challenges. They're playing off their man. And this year, teams seem to be able to create the opportunities that we're essentially handing to them. And also just a lot of like just individual mistakes and just bad defending, like just bad individual defending. I was a defender my whole life, and sometimes this stuff, you just cringe seeing the space that you allow your opponents and whatever it might be. So I think that that's the problem with this defense versus last year. And also B, I do think a midseason adjustment is coming, but that might be the optimist in me.
Yeah, no, it just almost seems like a mentality thing where like, they're just not focused. I don't know what is going on. I don't know if that's something that's in training. I don't know if it's just, you know, entitlement bleeding onto the pitch. I really don't. I would want to see some type of shift in that, whether that's going to be, you know, swapping player personnel and kind of holding people accountable a little bit more. But I did find it was actually two guys. One, and I was wrong about the team, it's not Independiente, but one guy is from Vélez Sarsfield, which, you know, our history with them, we've liked to go shopping there, but he's a 21-year-old center back.
Ricky Alvarez?
Bring him back, right? Valentin Gomez, he's got He's a pretty tall center back, strong on the ball himself, good in the air. Now, granted, I've only seen him play twice, but I liked what I saw. And actually, just looking at transfer market, they value him at around $9 million. So that means he's probably out of our price range. And another 21. Guy, yeah, another guy is Ian Glavinovic, which is not, it's not Croatian. So don't even assume that he is Argentinian. I don't know on what side, but he plays for Newell's. And he's 23 himself, and he's actually a pretty solid in the center as well.
I've heard of Valentin. I've never seen him play. I haven't heard of Glavinovic. So thanks for bringing these up. I'm definitely going to check them out. Oh, this guy's got Glavinovic has got an expiring this year.
In 2025, I thought it was.
This upcoming year.
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe that could be a cheap option. And he plays for the under 23, you know, Argentinian team. I mean, Gomez plays for the under 21. So I mean, you got some guys who have, you know, international experience and have a little bit of pedigree. Now whether they break into the first team, that's different. But you know, that could be some young, cheaper options than what we find in Europe. And I think we need to start shopping in South America and some of these lower leagues, like we did with BSEC, and try to find those hidden gems. But
I'm sure Oaktree would love to hear the fan base getting on board with that. All right, let's wrap this up. Depressing game for Inter, but I believe there's reason for optimism in the future. I know Johnny does as well. He's just, you know, also sees the writing on the wall for some of these players and the way that we've been playing this season. So we'll see. We would love to come on here and talk about a win pod soon. We also won 5 in a row and, you know, didn't lose this one. So I guess the streak of not losing is still alive, since the Milan derby is still alive. So just trying to find some positives to take into the next one, which is Empoli on Wednesday. So we'll see you then, guys. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.